Good evening, and welcome to the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church in New York City, committed to the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ in an atmosphere of love. We seek to glorify God by leading people to salvation in Christ and encouraging believers toward spiritual growth by relating the Bible to their daily lives. Please stay with us for the next 60 minutes as Pastor Matthew Recker opens the Word of God, so you can be encouraged to follow in the Heritage of Faith.
And I want to welcome you to the Heritage of Faith program. How are you tonight? My name is Matthew Recker, and we want to encourage you tonight in the Word of God, and we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians as we... And we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians this evening, and we want to deal with this subject tonight, questions regarding the modern day tongue-speaking movement. That's what we want to discuss tonight. We want to look at questions regarding the modern day tongue-speaking movement. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians does deal with the problems in the local church. There were many problems in this church. They had problems relating to division. They were divided where God wanted them to be united. Some were following men. One was following Paul, another Peter, another Apollos. And some said, oh, I don't follow any preacher. I just follow Jesus. They had problems of immorality in the church, problems of members taking other members to court. There were abuses in liberty. But yet in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13 and 14, there was a great problem of a misuse of spiritual gifts. Now, the Church of Corinth did not lack spiritual gifts. They had many spiritual gifts and practiced those gifts, but they did lack an understanding of those gifts. And we want to talk with you tonight about this, and I'm going to give you the phone number. It's 1-800-345-9622. You know, for some reason, I'm having a mental block with that number, but that is the number. Call that number right now, 1-800-345-9622. It's kind of a weird thing. I've been doing this program for 7 years, and for some reason, I just couldn't remember that number tonight. Well, the human mind is a fascinating thing. But the Church of Corinth had many problems in relating to their spiritual gift, and they misused the gift of tongue speaking, and it still continues to be a problem in the church today. And so I want to talk about this evening from 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. Chapter 12, Paul lays the groundwork of spiritual gifts. And he says that the church is like a body, and every member of the body has its own gift and has a spiritual giftedness. And not every one is going to have the same gift. So therefore, to say that every Christian must have one gift is error and erroneous. And here, that gets me to my first question tonight. Is tongue speaking necessary for the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Or is tongue speaking an evidence of being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit? The fact is, and I say this in love because there are many Pentecostal folk who love the Lord and they're truly saved, but the distinctive doctrine of Pentecostal theology is that speaking in tongues is evidence by, or is the evidence of, the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that if one is filled with the Holy Spirit, that fullness will be evidenced by speaking in tongues. And my question, is that true? And I want to share with you tonight that it's not. Because very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says that in verse number 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And so everyone who is a believer has the Holy Spirit and has a spiritual gift. But and then he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And so his point is that one person can be just as spiritual as another and not speak in tongues. One person can be filled with the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues. And Paul even asked this question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues? And of course, the obvious answer is no. Another question we could talk about tonight, has tongues ceased for today? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, charity never faileth. And really, chapter 13 talks about the environment of spiritual gifts, that our spiritual gifts are to be exercised in the environment of love. And love is not does not seek its own. Love is not for personal gratification. Love does not do things for self-edification, but seeks the good of others. And so we're to exercise our spiritual gifts in the context and atmosphere of love. And then Paul says, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. My question is, has tongues ceased for today? Well, we could talk about that. Again, the number is 1-800-345-9622. Isn't it 9622? 1-800-345-9. All right. I'm having a strange evening here tonight. Okay. 1-800-345-9622. That's the number. You call us, Raleigh. I guess it is the number. People are calling in. Okay. I don't know. Forgive me tonight. Okay. I'll get in my head in the program. Now, here's another question I have. Is the tongue speaking, people say, well, Brother Recker, you don't believe in the Bible because they spoke in tongues in the Bible. And so, of course, tongue speaking is for today. Well, wait a minute. We have to look at the scripture and ask ourselves, what's the purpose of tongue speaking in the Bible? And we have to ask ourselves, is the tongue speaking that was occurring in the Bible, is that the same thing that is happening today? Is the tongue speaking of today done with the same purpose? Is it done under the same regulations that tongues were to be done in the New Testament? And by the way, what are some of the unconditional regulations for speaking in tongues? Does not Paul say in chapter 14, doesn't he say this, that tongues were first of all for edification? By the way, tongues, what is tongues? People talk about tongues. What is tongues? Is tongues a babbling? Is tongues just cackling like a hen? Is it putting syllables together like I've heard some people teach? I've heard tongue speaking being taught to others by just putting two syllables together and then chant those syllables, and then God will give you other syllables. Is that tongues? Dear friends, let me just say this. Tongue speaking in the Bible was an actual language. An actual language spoken by a group of people, an ethnic group of people. And the gift of tongues was a miracle ability to speak a known language without studying that language. So tongues was a miraculous ability to speak a language without having studied that. And the purpose of tongues is this. It was a sign gift to the nation of Israel of a judgment that was coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. You get right to us right here, 1-800-345-9622. We do have a couple lines open, so get right to us, 1-800-345-9622. Tongues are a sign, he says, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. God says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that they will not hear me. In the law it is written, God wrote in the law to the nation of Israel, that he would speak to them in actual languages, but languages they did not understand because they were foreign languages of an invading nation. And if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49 and 50, you will read about how the Lord will bring nations against Israel if they were disobedient, and ultimately they were disobedient, and God brings nations against them from afar, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue or language, that means, thou shalt not understand, a nation of a fierce countenance. And God brought these nations against Israel in the Old Testament, Assyria to the northern kingdom of Israel, Babylon to the southern kingdom of Judah. And these nations speaking their stammering language, as it was sounded like stammering to the Jews, was a sign of a judgment for their disobedience. But tongues was a sign to Israel, you see. And so New Testament tongues is a sign, first of all, to the nation of Israel, that they have rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And now the Holy Spirit of God has come, and God has given, in a sense, his people a second chance for them to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Tongues are a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. In other words, one should not have to speak in tongues to prove to another Christian they have the Holy Spirit. That's not the purpose of tongues. And yet that's what we're told, that tongues really is a sign or evidence that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And who are you trying to prove that to? Usually to another Christian. See, that's not the purpose of tongues, dear friends. Tongues were a sign, not to them that believe, but to them, that is the nation of Israel, to them that believe not. And then there are clear regulations for speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, as you keep on reading there, tongues were an actual language. Tongues were not a gibberish in Bible days. No more than two or three people could speak in this language in a single service. Fourth, he says tongue speaking must be done one at a time. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, at the most by three, and that by course. So that is one at a time. And then he says, and let one interpret. So tongue speaking must be interpreted. It's not optional. If one speaks in tongues, it must be interpreted. It must be done one at a time. No more than two or three in any single service. Tongues were for edification of the church. And tongues were not to create any kind of confusion or disorder. As it says in verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And tongues were to be under control. That is, one shouldn't get up in the midst of the service and say, oh, I just couldn't control myself, I have to speak in tongues. No, he says, things must be done under control. He says, let the prophet speak two or three, let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, which means that, you know, a prophet doesn't get out of order. He doesn't lose control. He can wait his turn, you see. Now my question, oh, and then by the way, he says, let your women keep silence in the churches. So women were never to speak in tongues in a public church service. And that's the only place where tongues were to be spoken. It was in a language to communicate as a sign to the nation of Israel. In other words, to speak in tongues in a private prayer language is nothing, there's nothing in the Bible about that. And if you could show me one verse that says that I can pray in tongues, I will pray in tongues. So here's my question. Do you know of anywhere on earth where the tongue speaking is being done with these regulations being met, where they are being obeyed, where these regulations are being followed? Do you know of anywhere like that? Okay, let me take a call here from Doreen in Yonkers. Thank you for calling, Doreen, and you're on the Heritage of Faith.
God bless you. I got a red pen. I'm going to come and see you and write 1-800-345-9622.
Man, Doreen, I don't know what it is. It is the right number, right?
No.
Did you ever get a mental block?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I have something for you. It's really food for thought. I think today in 2005, our tongues are, as Christians, could be simple as good morning to your neighbors. God bless you. I love you. I forgive you. A hallelujah in church. My gift, my tongue is comedy. I can make anybody laugh. When we used to get in church, people would leave the church because they couldn't speak.
I'm laughing.
No, they couldn't speak tongues. In our service last week, we had someone that can, and one professor, prophet, that she heard God speaking. Do you know so many people were talking about it, I couldn't even hear what she was saying, and God was speaking? We put each down. It separates us. You know, it separates us. And I think our tongues in this day and age, as we interpret the Holy Bible, is tongue. We speak to each other. Hello. It is also television, radio, records. If you edify him, you will know what to say. He will tell you what to say. It will be a language that we can all understand, and it will be a language that we need.
Okay, thank you, sister. I appreciate your call, and I think you made your point, and I'm gonna let you go. I'm going to let other people call in, and God bless you for your heart. And you're right. The language, what you're saying, sister, is what we need to be thinking about in our communication, is communicating to one another in simple, plain terms, loving language, encouraging one another. And that's where Paul even says, let all things be done for edifying. Let all things be done for edifying. Let me say this from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I say this on the point that tongue speaking is not necessary for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Tongue speaking is not necessary to be done by every member of the church, even in Bible days when tongues clearly was being demonstrated as a spiritual manifestation, as a miraculous ability to speak a language that you had not studied, as a sign to the nation of Israel. And it's very simple, is that in the body of Christ, diversity is according to the will of God. And Paul makes this point, does he not, in chapter number 12, about diversity. I'm gonna get it for you when he says, the body is one, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and has many members, all members of that one body. Being many are one body, so also is Christ. So there are many members, but one body. And then he says, for the body is not one member, but many. So we can't make the body one member. You do that when you force everyone to have one gift. So if everyone feels pressure to have or to manifest one spiritual gift, I'm saying I think that puts a wrong pressure, and it makes the body really distorted and ultimately deformed, because the body is not one member but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course it is. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, Paul's being humorous here and sarcastic. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course it is. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And so Paul is saying two things here. He's saying, first of all, diversity of gifts in the body of Christ is according to the will of God. And the body needs the hand as much as the body needs the foot, and the foot shouldn't feel bad or discontent about its position in the body of Christ because it's not the hand, and the foot shouldn't try to be the hand because the foot will make a lousy hand. The foot will be a good foot. The hand will be a good hand. And so you see, again, when you try to force one spiritual gift upon everybody, your people are feeling discontent if they don't have a particular spiritual gift. So Paul is saying that diversity is good in the body of Christ, and that every member is vital to the body of Christ. Okay, let me take a call here. The number again is 1-800-345-9622. I'll get that straightened. And I'm going to go to Sanmi in Brooklyn. Thank you for calling, Sanmi. You're on the Heritage of Faith.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening.
Bless you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I just want to share my what I have in mind about the topic you raised tonight.
Well, go ahead.
Right. Each time you, I remember you raised this particular topic before, and each time you talk about it, you kind of have this cut and nail approach to the scripture.
I have a what?
A cut and nail approach.
A cut and nail?
Approach, yeah.
Well, you have to, I don't understand anything you said, Sammy. Time is of the essence. Get to your point, please.
Okay. Oh, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse, you mentioned that tongue is going to cease. But the same verse tells us that knowledge also is going to cease. It's going to pass away.
No, so it doesn't say knowledge is going to cease. It says knowledge is going to pass away, and that's two different things. Let me ask you this question, Sammy. You think that tongue speaking is for today, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Well, I want to ask you an honest question then.
All right, sure.
Do you know of any church where tongue speaking is being practiced according to these regulations that I laid out before? Honestly, in other words, where two or at the most three people are speaking in tongues in a service that's being done one at a time, one is interpreting each message. In other words, tongues is not being done by a whole group of people, but it's one at a time. That the tongues are an actual language being spoken. It's not just gibberish. And that women are not doing it in the church. Is that your understanding?
Okay, let me answer your question, Pastor, by saying that a misuse of the gift of the Spirit does not imply the non-existence of the gift. The fact that it is misused is...
No, okay, fine, but still, answer my question. Do you know of anywhere where tongues is being exercised that way? Because if it's going to be done, it has to be done according to the Scripture. Do you agree with me?
Absolutely.
Okay, so... Do you know of anywhere or in the church where you go if they speak in tongues? I don't even know if they do, but...
Yeah.
Okay, do women speak in tongues in your church?
Every believer, I know...
Do women speak out loud in the church in tongues?
Yes, in prayer. They speak in tongues loud.
Okay, so women are doing it, even though the Bible says, let your women keep silence. Well, are they doing it more than one at a time in your church?
Are
they doing it one at a time, or are they doing it more than one at a time?
If we are all praying together, if I'm praying and a sister is praying, she's free to speak in tongues.
Okay, show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible, Sammy. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you, and I say it in love, brother, I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm not questioning your desire to live for the Lord. But I don't believe that you're... What?
You question our interpretation of the Scripture, but I cannot see... Clearly from the Scripture.
Show me an example of the Bible where
the Scripture says we cannot speak in tongues today. Because if you are going to approach the Scripture that way, you are going
to
apply the same principle to every concept of the Scripture.
Okay, here's the thing, Sammy.
Prophecy is no longer for today. The gift of healing is...
You know what's not for today? Adding revelation. Okay, hold up, Sammy. Sammy, what can't be for today is extra revelation added to the Bible. Do you agree with me? In other words, the Bible is a complete revelation.
Sure.
Okay? So we don't add more revelation to the Bible.
Right.
We don't need to get any fresh revelation, either through visions or dreams or tongues.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Okay. Great. So,
the point of tongues is this, Sammy.
Here's my... Okay, you asked about ceasing of tongues.
Yeah, that's what you said. But the Scripture does not tell us...
Well, my argument is, first of all, I think you proved my point already.
What point
because
is that?
The point that if tongues were being spoken today, there would be somewhere where they were being done according to the Bible. And they're not being done. But my second point would be, Sammy, the purpose of tongues was a sign to the nation of Israel, and I don't think you understand that at all.
That's another area I don't agree with you. I can't see that.
Well, have you studied it out from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 and 21? Have you studied that passage?
Which says?
Brethren, 1 Corinthians 14.
Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. Is that what I'm talking about?
And the next verse?
In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, And yet for all that I will, they did not hear me, says the Lord.
Okay, and then he says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them, and that's the same them, this people in verse 21, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Okay, now, so what I think we need to do, Sammy, I hope you'd agree with me, is we need to go back to the law, where he says, in the law it is written. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I believe if you honestly go back there, you'll see that the tongues that Paul is writing about, as he goes back to the law, were actual languages of foreign nations, right? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, he's talking about foreign nations that are going to invade Israel. And let me ask you a question.
Right.
Don't you think that the Bible is a book with a Jewish flavor? I mean, we have a Jewish Savior.
In this 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, I cannot see any Jews mentioned there.
No, but well, I'm at verse 21 first.
They have belief.
Okay, but if you go back to the law and see, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, that this people is clearly Israel. I just ask you to keep an open mind to it, Sammy. You know why? Because I know you've had an experience that is special to you. Okay, thank you. Hey, brother, let me let you go. I appreciate talking to you tonight, and we've talked for a while, and God bless you, brother, and I hope you'll really keep an open mind to all of God's Word. And I just ask folk tonight not to put their experience above the Scripture, because I really think when we talk about tongues, we can get very emotional because people have had a very perhaps intimate or special kind of a spiritual experience in speaking in tongues, and maybe they were led to do it by somebody that they really respected or loved, but we really have to ask ourselves, is it being done according to what God has laid out in the Word? Now, again, let me try to finish this point because it is very important. If you go back to the law and you read that passage in Deuteronomy, and I already actually read it, and also in Isaiah chapter 28, where God says, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. And again, that was Israel. And so Assyrians fulfilled this prophecy by invading Israel. Babylon fulfilled this prophecy by invading Israel. And so the idea of tongues, behind tongues, there was a idea and concept of judgment. That's the context of these passages that Paul quotes from. It's a context of judgment. And it's the people is Israel and only Israel. And if you look at the three places in the book of Acts where tongues was spoken, Acts chapter 2, of course, the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, Jews gathered from all around the world. Acts chapter 10, Peter brings some Jews to the home of Cornelius and they speak in tongues. And that's a demonstration that the Holy Spirit has going even to the Gentiles, to the Jews that Paul is with. Acts chapter 19, the disciples who had been in Ephesus, who had been followers of John the Baptist, they were Jewish, and they spoke in tongues as well. And so tongues was a sign in those three instances to the nation of Israel. And a judgment was coming upon Israel, upon Jerusalem. The book of Corinth was one of the early epistles written in 57 A.D. In just a few years after this, in A.D. 70, Titus, the Roman general, was going to come in upon Jerusalem and destroy the temple. And from that time until now, even though there's a nation, Israel, they still do not have access to the Temple Mount. And so, dear friends, this was a sign pointing to that judgment. And a sign points to something, and once the event occurs, you don't need the sign anymore. I mean, if I'm driving to New York up the New Jersey Turnpike, I'm going to see signs pointing me to New York. Once I'm past New York, I'm not going to see any signs for New York. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll go to John here. Thanks for calling, John.
How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing fine.
Thank you for taking my call. I respectfully disagree with you on this topic. I listen to your broadcast quite frequently, but on this issue, I do have to disagree.
Okay.
Is there anything in the scripture that says that tongues will cease?
Well, I just went through that, John. Were you able to listen?
No, I just turned it on not too long ago.
Well, I was just talking about now, but let me walk you through 1 Corinthians 13 a little bit here. Okay. And if you look at in 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 8, And it says, where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So he mentions three spiritual gifts there, right? Prophecy, tongues, and knowledge.
When the perfect comes.
Okay, well hold up. Wait. I'm just trying to, you see that in verse 8? You got to follow this through. He mentions three gifts. You see it? You should underline it. Prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. But now look at verse 9. He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Now notice again that little phrase, in part.
Okay.
And he mentions only two spiritual gifts there. What does he mention? Which ones? Knowledge and prophecy. So he doesn't mention tongues. He's not talking about tongues now. Because look at verse 10. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part. What's in part? Knowledge and prophecy. Not tongues. Tongues ceased.
Well,
but when that which is perfect is come, well, hold on, then that which is in part shall be done away. And then he says, I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now watch this. Now I know in part. See, there he goes to the knowledge, and he uses that same expression, in part. You see? And then he says, but then shall I know even as also I am known. The point is many people say that tongues is going to be active. They use the scripture and say tongues is going to be active until we see Christ face to face. But
when Christ comes, that gift will not be necessary.
Right, but here's the thing. He's not talking about tongues when he's saying, when I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but now I see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part. You see, he's talking about the things that he knew in part, which was knowledge and prophecy. My point here, John, and I appreciate, you know, this isn't easy to work through, but I have tried honestly. You know, I seek to deal with the scripture very honestly. I'm not perfect. Nobody is, but I'm as honest as I can be with God's word. And I think if you look at this carefully, you'll see that he's not talking about tongues here when he talks about when I know Christ, then I will know even fully as I know.
So you're saying it's basically, it was a sign gift for the times.
It was a sign to the nation of Israel of a coming judgment that occurred in AD 70. And I can say that as well, backed up clearly with church history, that the kind of tongue speaking that I am saying is biblical speaking in tongues, which is an actual language being spoken with an interpretation in the public service of the church. Tongues wasn't for private prayer languages. This is something totally new. And that one at a time speaking in a language in order to be as a sign to the nation of Israel, there were Jews in the churches in the first century. Matter of fact, there were more Jews than Gentiles in these churches.
What do you think?
And then once the judgment came upon Jerusalem, tongues ceased, and church history bears that out. There has never been the biblical gift of tongues as I'm describing, a real miracle. We're talking about a miracle. Anybody can learn to do gibberish, though, John. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this, Pastor. What do you actually think is taking place today when these people speak in tongues?
Well, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt here. I'm going to say I believe there is an earnest desire for people to have a New Testament Christianity that's not dead. And they desire to have the knowledge and they desire to feel God, experience God. And in doing that, they get into an experience of error that is not really based on the scripture.
I mean,
I think it could be.
This issue really just divides the church. I mean, this is a minor issue. I mean,
I'm not dividing the church with it. I think those who speak in tongues are dividing the church because you know what, John? It's not a minor issue. You know why it's not? Because this doctrine that I'm talking about has gone into every major denomination, including the Roman Catholic Church. And what it is, it's a uniting issue, but it's a false unity. And really ultimately a unity that's not based on true salvation. I mean, it's gonna ultimately unite Pentecostals with Roman Catholics. I don't think that's a good unity.
I agree with that. but there's a lot of respected Bible authorities that believe tongues do exist, one being Hank Hanegraaff, who's on this station. I mean, he's a well-known, very well-respected authority in the Bible.
And I would disagree with him. You know, but ultimately human authority is human authority. I could quote you other men that I respect a whole lot more than Hank Hanegraaff, and I'm not a Calvinist either, and I'm not soft on the Roman Catholic Church either. Like, Mr. Hanegraaff has written some good books, but he's soft on the Roman Catholic Church, and he believes in Pentecostal tongue-speaking gifts and so forth, and has even become very, very Calvinistic these days, you know, so I can't agree with that either. But that being said, I'm not here to create unnecessary division, John. That's not my point. My point is the Bible has something to say about these things. The Church of Corinth was misusing the spiritual gift of tongues, and Paul writes to correct them. And I'm saying that tongue speaking is being misused today, and I believe I could speak out and seek to correct that as well. All right?
Thank you for your time, Pastor.
Take it easy, man. He had enough of me there. Usually I have to hang up on the caller before they get all they want to say. 1-800-345-9622 is the number here. My name is Matthew Recker, and hey, if you want to come to our church, we're really a nice church. We're not critical. We're not here to try to fuss us. We're here to preach the Word of God, share Jesus Christ. And if you are looking for a good Bible-believing church, come on, visit with us down at the Village Community School every Sunday. 10 o'clock is our Bible study hour. 11 o'clock is the morning service. We meet at 272 West 10th Street in the heart of Greenwich Village. 272 West 10th Street, that's the Village Community School. And we're there Sundays, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, Wednesdays at 7:30. You know, tongues had its modern revival in the early 1900s. It first occurred in Topeka, Kansas, a Bible college led by a man named Charles Parham. And guess who spoke in tongues first? A woman named Agnes Osmond. And then after that, it went out to California, of course, Azusa Street, and women were very prominent in speaking in tongues there. In that little mission there on Azusa Street, which no longer exists, actually, it went into bankruptcy and eventually had to close its doors, and it just doesn't exist any longer. But that's where the modern-day tongue-speaking movement reemerged, and I'm simply saying what reemerged wasn't the tongue-speaking of the Bible. Okay, 1-800-345-9622, and let me go to Danilo in Staten Island. Thank you for calling.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
I wanted to ask you a question about a couple of questions. One of them is, do you think that women shouldn't speak in church?
Well, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a teaching in the church context. If you follow through chapter 14, if you read the whole chapter, and your name is Danilo?
Yes.
Okay. Danilo, if you read through the whole chapter and underline every time you see the word church, and it's clearly talking about public services, and then underline where it says speaking, and he's talking about speaking in the church throughout this entire chapter. So you have to take the context of verse 34 in the context of the chapter. So when he says, let your women keep silence in the churches, it's not saying that a woman can't go in the church and say, hello, brother, or, you know, if they are giving praise to God or singing a hymn, they can't sing, or a woman can't teach children. Because a woman, you know, in chapter 11, back there, it says that a woman should have her head covered when she prays or prophesies. So obviously a woman can speak in the church. But the context of chapter 14 is speaking in tongues in the midst of a public service where clearly there would be men present. And in that context, women are not to speak, because it says in chapter 2 of Timothy, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Hello?
Yeah.
So the women are not to preach to men. You think I'm right from the Bible? Do you believe the Bible's right?
Yeah, I believe the Bible's right.
You know, God set up the standard, Danilo, and this is unchanging. we can't make it a cultural issue because it's not about culture. It's about us being part of God's creation. We're His image bearers. And the order is clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And so Jesus Christ and God are co-equal, co-powerful, co-eternal, right?
Yes.
But yet the head of Christ is God. So we're not talking about Jesus being inferior to the Father, but we're talking about roles, and we're talking about how the Father sent the Son. You see, and there's a role there that the Son had as the Son of God, even though He's equal in power and glory with His Father. And so when we talk about the roles of men and women, and I say a woman shouldn't speak in the public service, church service to men, I'm not saying that the woman is inferior to the man. I'm saying that men and women, hey, there are differences last time I looked. And those differences aren't going away. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, man. Do you have another question?
No, I was just going to ask you, if, like, should women have the authority over men, like, in certain jobs and stuff like that, like senators and stuff like that?
Oh, well, politics, that's more of a personal issue. You know, if you don't feel that a woman should be in a political position of leadership over you, then don't vote for her, okay? But I'm not going to get into that issue here, because I'm talking about the local church.
All right.
Okay, I'm not gonna deal with the political rulers. You know? Okay, Danilo, thank you, brother. You get back to us, 1-800-345-9622. Let me ask you. In chapter number 14 of Corinthians, Paul says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. So people say, oh, you see, when you speak in tongues, you're not talking to men anyway. So it doesn't matter whether men understand you or not. Now, wait a minute. You really think Paul's saying that? Paul can't be saying that. Because then he says, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except the interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Ah, that makes sense. What's going on in chapter 2 is people were speaking in tongues and not interpreting what they were saying. Therefore, the only one who understood them was God. And, beloved, I don't go to church to speak to encourage God. That would be proud of me, wouldn't it? To go and speak in some language and the only one who understood me was God and no one else did. I have to go to church, if I'm going to speak publicly, to encourage men, because men need my encouragement. I need to edify men because men need that edification and comfort. God doesn't need my comfort. And the problem here, Paul's being sarcastic with the Corinthians, and he's saying it's useless for you to go into your public church services and speak in tongues without any interpretation. The only one who you're speaking to is God, and the only one who's edified is yourself, and that's all selfish. Okay, let me take Maxine's call. Thank you for calling, Maxine, and I know you'll make it brief, so go right ahead.
God bless you, sir. I just wanted to say that as far as the genuine gift of tongues, that's not a problem, but the way people use it today, their misinterpretation, that is a problem. I think they do it strictly so they can have some elating spiritual experience, which ends up being mindless and unfruitful, which God really doesn't endorse. And for all that they do today, which is just about totally in disagreement with 1 Corinthians 14, it doesn't seem to make them walk any better, be any holier. It just makes them feel more spiritual. And they almost have to totally ignore 1 Corinthians 14.
Mm-hmm. Maxie, can I ask you a question? What do you think on what I'm saying, though, about tongues being assigned to the nation of Israel of this coming judgment that occurred in A.D. 70? Have you ever thought about that position?
I thought more of it when you said it tonight, but I didn't put much thought of it. The way I thought of the genuine gift is when in Acts chapter 2, they were praising God, and foreign people came and heard them praising God in their own language.
Right.
But mostly when you see people talking about, I'm speaking in tongues in church, there's no foreigner in there. They speak a bunch of gibberish, and then somebody, sometimes, if they feel like doing it, somebody will jump up with an interpretation, and I said, oh, well, we all speak English in here, and since you, it's going to be interpreted to our language, why don't you just start out with that in the first place? There's no foreign unbeliever in here. So what was the purpose of somebody getting up and speaking in a bunch of gibberish that even they didn't know? To me, they make a mockery of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, in chapter 2 of Acts, and I agree with you there, Maxine, in chapter 2 of Acts, when it says that all these people from various parts of the world, and they were Jews,
mm-hmm.
had come together, and then we say, and it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues, in our languages. You see,
mm-hmm.
they were speaking actual languages,
yes.
the wonderful works of God. So the tongues was a message, and it was a proclamation of Christ and his salvation.
Yes.
And so, yes, a tongue's message would have praise to God. It would emphasize the works of God and the power of God and so forth. But ultimately, I would still go back to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 21, as the ultimate purpose of tongues as a sign to the nation of Israel, because that overrides everything, I really believe.
Something real quickly. Don't you think, to me, it's quite silly when someone starts talking glossolalia, gibberish, and then you ask them about, well, I wasn't talking to you anyway. I was talking to God. I said, well, according to the interpretation, it sounds like it was supposed to be a message for us. Yea, I stand to thee, my children, if thou shalt walk upright, I shall bless thee. I said, that's what you was telling God? He needed to... Why didn't you just start out in English? There's nobody foreign in here.
And they used chapter 14, verse 2 as their text for that, but I believe that's a misunderstanding of that text because Paul is being sarcastic. He was often sarcastic with the Corinthians because they thought they were so spiritual and so good, and they didn't see themselves as God really did. And so Paul does use sarcasm to try to help them to see themselves. And exactly right, because, I often say to people, what if I go up to a piano and I have no ability to play the piano at all, and I say, I'm going to go play a special song on the piano and just pound on the piano. You'll have no rhyme or reason. You'll have no idea what song I played. Well, I was playing for myself. That's about what tongues is like today.
Do you also, this one I'm thinking about, the so-called prayer language. The Bible says, so what is it? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with an understanding. So it doesn't seem like the Scriptures give them any endorsement whatsoever for what they're doing with this so-called angelic language.
I completely agree. And not only that, but Paul, in that same chapter and a couple verses later, he says, if you just bless with the Spirit or in that tongue speaking, how shall he that occupies the room say amen? In other words, again, it was the public service of the church. It was the prayer, the public prayer in the public service of the church. Here's the only place I can find praying in tongues in the Bible. Jesus said, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do.
Yes.
So that's what we should not be doing in our prayer. We need to be praying with words that coming forth from our heart, led by the Holy Spirit, according to the pattern of prayer the Lord taught us.
Yes. And
okay.
Your understanding is supposed to be fruitful.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you, Maxine. Appreciate
it.
God bless you. 1-800-345. I got the number now. I'm on a roll. 9622. And let me go to Rosemary. Thank you for calling, Rosemary, and appreciate you holding on there.
Shalom, Pastor.
Yes,
Pastor.
Shalom.
I'm calling because... That's
the Jewish word.
Yes, it is. And it's understandable.
Amen.
I found a scripture in praying in the Holy Ghost. You mentioned earlier if you can find a scripture that says praying in the Holy Ghost, you would pray in the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
And it's Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Keep yourselves in the
Holy Ghost. Okay, but I said praying in tongues.
all praying.
You see how you're reading into that scripture, Rosemary?
Yes.
Does it say to pray in tongues in the Holy Ghost?
No, it says praying in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, okay. I do that. I believe, I try to do that. That's hard work. Praying in the Holy Ghost, I believe, is hard spiritual labor where we go to God and we are framing our words according to actual requests and intercessions for those who have need. You know, praying for loved ones and the salvation of the lost, praying for our leaders, and
mm-hmm.
and we're letting the Holy Spirit lead us in prayer as we go to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so here's what I would say. I believe in that, praying in the Holy Spirit, but that's not praying in tongues. Because if I pray in tongues in my closet, that doesn't mean I have the gift of interpretation of what I just prayed.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I pray in tongues? I won't even know what I just prayed for. How will I know whether God answered my prayer?
Right.
Okay?
You're right.
Okay.
Okay, shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Keep peace with the Lord, Rosemary. And you get back to us, 1-800-345-9622. I'm saying we need to give a certain sound. The Christian life is, it's not easy to live for the Lord. We're going to have to really be strong to follow through and not allow our flesh to rule us. And we need to pray. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me go over to George in Queens. Thank you for calling, George. You're on the Heritage of Faith.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Hey, brother. Okay.
You didn't call me Jorge.
Jorge. I said George.
It's okay.
Jorge.
I have a verse that you can read for me, Revelation 22, verse 18.
Okay.
The last page of Revelation.
Yep, the last. We're getting down to the end of the New Testament. 22:18.
Mm-hmm.
I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues written in the book. And if any man shall take away, God will take away his part out of the book of life.
I mean, we can go on to 19, but I think basically those folks who speak in tongues, isn't it, they're doing this, they're actually adding their own words to their to the book, to the Bible?
Well, I believe that tongues in the New Testament was a miraculous gift that was extra revelation. It was revelatory. And we have to understand, as we're reading 1 Corinthians, I mean, revelation was ongoing. And so prophets were preaching by direct revelation, giving the words they spoke were the actual thus saith the Lord, words of God. And so same with these messages in tongues. I believe there was a revelation aspect to it. And so that's a part of the issue today. Is revelation complete and sufficient, or is it ongoing? I'm saying today it's complete and sufficient.
Amen. I agree with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Okay. 1-800-345-9622. Let me go to Hector in Yonkers. Thank you for calling, Hector.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm a new believer.
Okay.
I'm still kind of new at this. I've been going to church for a while now, right? And I'm very confused because my father-in-law, he says that women shouldn't preach, right? And I don't see God having a problem with this. And if that is the case, can you please show me specifically where does it say in the Bible? Because people understand the Bible to their own benefit. You know,
right.
It means something to me. Another church could just twist it and, you know, use it to their own benefit.
Yeah.
I want to know where does it say specifically that women shouldn't preach? Because all these new churches that I see now, there's a woman that preaches all over, even a 700 Club.
Right, right. Okay, let me give you a couple verses, Hector. Do you have a pen?
Yeah, I have a pen.
Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2.
1 Timothy. Timothy chapter 2.
Verse 11.
Verse 11.
Through 15. That's clearly, and the thing with Timothy, it's a very powerful scripture on this point, Hector, because Timothy was a pastor in a church in Ephesus. And Paul is specifically writing to him about the teaching ministry in the church. And he says the women are to learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp or to take the authority over the man, but to be in silence. And then in chapter 3, if you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, you'll read about a bishop and a deacon, the two offices of the local church, and both were clearly men who had wives. So how can a woman be a bishop in a church if a bishop is to be the husband of one wife? Let me put it to you this way, Hector. If a man is married, who's the head of the home?
Okay.
Who's the head of the home?
Me, the man.
The man, okay. So if a man is that, what if your wife is the pastor? You're the head of the home in the home, and you walk out the door and walk into the church, and if your wife is the pastor, who's the head of the church? Things just turned backwards, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Hector, man, I got to run. Our time is gone. Study the Word. Study the Word on this. Don't just allow your emotions and feelings to take you away. Get grounded in the Scripture and believe that God's Word is sufficient, and it is an authority, and it has the answers. And I'll be glad to talk to you. The phone lines are still ringing up here, but hey, you come visit our church. How's that? You can ask me all the questions you want. 272 West 10th. Go to our website at hbcnyc.org. You have a great week. Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage of Faith. We would be so honored to have you as a guest at our church. Sunday worship services are at the Village Community School, located at 272 West 10th Street in Manhattan. Our Bible study hour begins at 10 a.m., and our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11 a.m. For more information, or if you need help with prayer or encouragement, you may call us at 212-947-5316. That's 212-947-5316. You can also write to us at Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 7925, New York, New York, 10116. That's P.O. Box 7925, New York, New York, 10116. You may also visit us on the web at www.hbcnyc.org. That's www.hbcnyc.org. Join us again next week at 8:30 p.m. for the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church. Until then, rejoice in the Lord.